This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. Now we move on to the discussion of the lakes, the rivers of paradise. The rivers, and then that will continue on to the streams of paradise. There'll be rivers and there'll be streams in paradise. Here, we're going to be looking at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said about these rivers, what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned about them. We get a better idea. So firstly, we look at the verses in the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ. Another place, Surah Al-Tawbah, جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي تَحْتَهَا. And then in Surah Yunus, تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهِمُ الْأَنْهَارِ. So this concept of gardens beneath which rivers flow, beneath it rivers are flowing, you get that quite often in the Quran, as you can see by this. Now this tells us a few things. Firstly, it tells us that these are real rivers. These are not some kind of imagery, some kind of virtual reality. It's a reality. There will be rivers. You can actually dip your finger inside them. This is not just something that will seem to appear in front of you. This is not a make-believe dream. This is real. It's a river. And number two, none of these rivers, it always says tajri. Tajri means to flow. None of these rivers will be stagnant. None of them will be still. They will all be flowing. And the good thing about anything that's flowing, there's a natural soothing sensation and an effect for anything that is flowing. When you see water that is just stagnant in one place, like a pond, it doesn't provide the same kind of refreshing benefit as does anything which is flowing. You see, even a small amount of water flowing, just a small amount of water flowing, and subhanAllah, it just gives you a completely different benefit, right, than to even a big, large expanse of water that is stagnant. So in Jannah, these rivers are flowing. And number three, what we also understand is that these will all be flowing from beneath their residences, their palaces, their gardens, their orchards, and their whatever is understood. And this doesn't have to be something very unusual. In the world as well, rivers generally flow underneath. The only difference here is that these rivers will not have to flow in ditches or in trenches. The description of how exactly the river will be, though it's on the surface, it will be mentioned a bit later. That's why some people couldn't understand this concept of rivers flowing without trenches. So they took this word in the Quran, تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ, as meaning these rivers will be under the people who live there, their command. They can tell it to flow as they wish, rather than it flowing. So Ibn al-Qayyim mentions that this is just a misunderstanding. This is a misunderstanding. What it means is obviously that it will actually really be flowing. And it will flow from beneath the trees, and you know, whether it goes into the ground sometimes, but otherwise you'll be able to see it. So for example, the same kind of concept is used in the Quran for rivers of this world. Fir'aun says in Surah Az-Zukhruf, it's mentioned about him, وَهَذِهِ الْأَنْهَارُ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِي. And these rivers that flow beneath me. These rivers that flow beneath me. Obviously, it doesn't mean that they're flowing underneath him and he's sitting on top of it. It doesn't have to mean that, unless he's referring to water aquifers under the ground. But it just means that they flow on the ground. That's what it means. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's the first verse. Now, the next lot of verses, Surah Ar-Rahman, فِيهِمَا عَيْنَانِ نَضَّاخَتَانِ. Now, عَيْن is different from nahr. عَيْن is generally a stream. But what size the stream is, Allah knows best. It says, فِيهِمَا, in those two gardens that they will have two streams which will be bursting forth. Naddakha, naddakha, it means to burst out like a fountain. So they won't be still, they won't be moving slowly, but they will be a good, you know, they will be spraying like a fountain. There's a narration of Ibn Abi Shaybah from Sa'id. So he doesn't mention it from the Prophet ﷺ. He says, نَضَّاخَتَانِ بِالْمَاءِ وَالْفَوَاكِهِ. They will be bursting forth with water and with fruits. Whether that means that the fruits will be watered from there, or whatever it means. There's another narration from Anas radiallahu anhu, says, نَضَّاخَتَانِ بِالْمِسْكِ وَالْعَنْبَرِ. It will also be flowing, or you can say erupting, like a waterfall, like a fountain, with musk and ambergris. These are two very popular fragrances. تَنْضِخَانِ عَلَى دُورِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. And they will spray onto the residences of the people of Jannah. It's just going to be some wonderful sight. كَمَا يَنْضِخُ الْمَطَرُ عَلَى دُورِ أَهْلِ الدُّنْيَا. Just like water is sprayed onto the homes of this world. Then the next mention we see of rivers is in Surah Muhammad. Allah says, مَثَلُ الْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي وَعِدَ الْمُتَّقُونَ فِيهَا أَنْهَارٌ مِّن مَّاءٍ غَيْرِ آسٍ وَأَنْهَارٌ مِّن لَّبَنٍ لَّمْ يَتَغَيَّرْ طَعْمُهُ وَأَنْهَارٌ مِّن خَمْرٍ لَّذَّةٍ لِّلشَّارِبِينَ وَأَنْهَارٌ مِّن عَسَلٍ مُّصَفًّى وَلَهُمْ فِيهَا مِن كُلِّ الثَّمَرَاتِ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ مِّن رَّبِّهِمْ. This is where he actually tells us what these rivers will contain. So this is speaking about four rivers in paradise. مَثَلُ الْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي وَعِدَ الْمُتَّقُونَ. This is the parable or the example of the garden that has been promised to those who fear Allah. There will be four rivers in there. فِيهَا أَنْهَارٌ. There will be many rivers in there. مِمَّاءٍ غَيْرِ آسٍ. One, it will be of water that is unaltered. Water that is not, that cannot change. It will remain fresh all the time. See, because what we have sometimes is that we have a flowing stream. The river, the water is fresh there. When you take it out and you put it in a bottle and you leave it somewhere for a while, then it no longer remains as fresh as it was there. Its purification is not the same. It becomes adulterated. This water, even if you took it to the side, if you took some from it, it will never change. وَأَنْهَارٌ مِّن لَبَنٍ لَمْ يَتَغَيَّرْ طَعْمُهُ. Now he's talking about four things, and all four of them, the next one is, and then rivers of milk. So milk doesn't come from cows in paradise. It comes from rivers. Now where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to create this is going to be amazing. But this is such milk whose flavor will never taste, it will never change. It will never change, which means it's going to be saved from any problems that you will see of the milk of this world, which is that it becomes sour, it spoils, it doesn't taste good, it becomes like yogurt, right? There it's going to be pure milk, it will remain pure forever. And then وَأَنْهَارٌ مِّنْ خَمْرٍ لَذَّةٍ لِّلشَّارِبِينَ. Rivers of wine that will be a source of great pleasure for those who drink it. A source of pleasure, not a source of misery. The wines of this world provide some pleasure in the beginning, then it's just misery afterwards. And then وَأَنْهَارٌ مِّنْ عَسَلٍ مُصَفَّى. Rivers of honey that is absolutely pure. You know the quest for pure honey? As everybody's always looking for pure honey, they doubt every honey that's out there. Right, there's just, you look at people, especially those people from India, Pakistan, they're always looking for pure honey. And they doubt every honey that's out there, because I don't know, they've had a bad experience. So even they say, Rao's, you know Rao's honey, the one you get in the supermarket. Ye pure nahi, yes mein milawat hai. Right, even though it says pure honey down there, they say even this, you know, I don't know what, they're looking for some organic honey or something. Right. And if it crystallizes at all, there's a lot of honey that crystallizes. Because it depends, the honey crystallizes because it has some part of the comb, right? If that remains in there, then it crystallizes. Some honey just crystallizes and some doesn't, depending on the mixture of the comb inside there, or parts of the comb, right? That's why what they do with some honey is they mix the honeycomb with the honey, and then they whisk it so that you can spread the honey. Say, no, this is not pure. For them, pure honey must be just complete, like, thick syrup. Otherwise, if it... ye toh sugar ban jata hai. That's what they say. Right? Because I guess they've just had a bad experience. So yes, if the honey says pure, then it should be pure, except that there is difference between one pure honey and another type of pure honey. The honey comes in many different forms and types. So this is absolutely pure honey. I hope people don't doubt this honey in paradise. وَلَهُمْ فِيهَا مِنْ كُلِّ الثَّمَرَاتِ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ. And for them will be all sorts of fruits, and above all, forgiveness from their Lord. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions these four types of rivers, and from each one of them, He removes any of the spoilage, the problem that is associated with these four things in the world. He removes, He says that these four things will not have any of the spoilers that you generally confront with these four drinks in this world. I've talked about the water already, that by leaving it for a while, it becomes stagnant. With milk, its flavor changes. And when it comes to wine, then subhanAllah, there's many, many problems that happen with wine and intoxicants, right? And then of course the honey. The biggest problem with honey, as we mentioned, is that it's not pure. These are the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it has caused these particular drinks, lakes and rivers of these particular drinks to flow in paradise, to be abundant, to be enjoyed. And these will be flowing above the ground without any kind of trench. They will also be, you know, from taking the greatest benefit from really enjoying water. Sometimes it is too chlorinated. Sometimes the water in this world has got too much, it's a heavy water, right? It has to be softened. It's hard water. It has to be softened. There has to be a certain pH balance within the water. And that's why water is processed so much. So this water is the absolute perfect water, because all of these problems, all of these extreme hardness and all of these things, it's been removed from this. So anything that would prevent you from really enjoying honey, water, wine, or milk, all of that has been removed from here. So for example, let's take the one of them. Let's take the wine, for example, which is probably the most problematic in all of these. Wine, all of the any and every calamity that is associated with wine in this world will be removed. What that means is the headache that comes from it, right? The intoxication that comes from it, a person acting foolish because of drinking wine, that is removed from it. Basically, the wine of this world, here's a whole list of things, a whole list of the calamities of the wine of this world. It basically overcomes your intellect. You can't think straight. Anybody who drinks too much wine, he's going to want to play around and act foolishly. Starts wanting to dance around and do weird things that he wouldn't do, he or she would not do normally. In fact, it says that when you drink wine, according to the experience of many people, wine is only enjoyable when it comes with some kind of dancing and some kind of movement and foolishness that comes with it. It obviously takes away you lose your money because of that, right? Because you then may go on to a spending spree, may want to spend more, have another one, have it on me, you know, everybody, it's on the house today, have it on me. You know, that there's these kind of things. Gives you a headache. Eventually, it doesn't taste right. Allah calls it rijsum min amali shaitan. It's impurity from the works of shaitan, from the plots of shaitan. It creates enmity and hatred between people. It removes you and prevents you and blocks you from the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from salat, as mentioned in the Quran. It invites to zina. In fact, it's well known that people actually use wine to soften out the other person so that they feel like they can be a bit loose and commit zina and fornication. In fact, sometimes it even causes a person to commit incest, to touch their own close relatives improperly, whether that be their mother, their daughter, their sister, or somebody else. And especially if they're both drunk, then it's even worse. It removes any kind of self-dignity, any kind of self-honor. You lose your honor because of it. It brings about, in its wake, it brings about disrepute, humiliation, regret, and a person becomes degraded. Then this person who drinks wine suddenly lowers himself down to the level of insane people who are not all there. He becomes like that kind of individual. His best akhlaq, his best character is all removed from him, and he starts acting in the most foolish of ways. And then he gets the most foolish of names people may call him by. It makes it easier for somebody to kill somebody with, kill somebody, you know, because when you're acting silly and then somebody may provoke, it's much easier because you're not in your proper senses. Some people, when they're drunk, it causes them to reveal secrets, in which is their own destruction. There's been people who've let off secrets which have basically ruined entire businesses sometimes, ruined families, ruined countries. That's a very good entry into getting access to something. You ply them with drink. You basically develop brotherhood with the shaitan, and thus you end up being extravagant in your spending. Tabdhir. You spend too much, that makes you a brother of the shaitan. It just removes all barriers of formality. A person becomes very informal and reveals his secrets. People express their nakedness because of this. The parts that should be covered of them become uncovered. How many wars have been caused by drink? How many rich people have become poor because of drink? Right? Because they get the bottle, then they just have to keep drinking and drinking. They lose their job. They have no time. They wake up with a hangover. They got no time to go to work, but they still have to drink. And they drink, causes health problems, all of these issues. How many noble people has it caused humiliation to? How many honorable people has it dropped and brought low? How many bounties of Allah has it caused a person to lose? And how many types of difficulties has it brought upon a person? How many relationships and love, understanding between people, has it been able to sever and cut? How much enmity has it been able to weave in your life? And how many times has it been able to separate between a person and their beloved? A person and their beloved. So, how much loss has it caused for some people? How many tears has it caused people to shed? And subhanAllah, how many doors of goodness has it caused to close in your face because you start drinking? And how many evil doors it opens up? You start drinking, how many doors of evil it opens up? How many difficulties and challenges it places somebody in? How quickly, subhanAllah, it brings upon your death? Because you start having liver problems, you start having health issues, and then suddenly that brings upon massive problems. How many babies does it create problems for? Because the mother drinks during pregnancy, which is considered to be extremely harmful. فَهِيَ جُمَّاعُ الْإِثْمِ. That is why it is basically the vessel of all evil, of all sin. So many sins come out of it. And it is the miftahu shar. It is the key to all evil. Salabatun ni'am. It removes bounties. Jalibatun niqam. And it brings about, it invites towards all forms of difficulties. In fact, what Ibn al-Qayyim says, وَلَوْ لَمْ يَكُنْ مِنْ قَبَائِئِهَا إِلَّا أَنَّهَا لَا تَجْتَمِعْ هِيَ وَخَمْرَةُ الْجَنَّةِ فِي جَوْفِ عَبْدٍ كما ثبت عنه صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من شرب الخمر في الدنيا لم يشربها في الآخرة. In fact, he says, if it was for only one of its evils, if there was just one harm, that is enough. Compared to all that we have mentioned, if it was just this one harm, that is sufficient for us never to touch it. And what is? That is that in Jannah, a person who has been drinking in this world will not be able to drink from this pure wine of paradise. Because it's mentioned in a hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whoever drinks from the wine of this dunya, they will not drink from the wine of the hereafter. This is a hadith related by Bukhari and Muslim. So it's a sahih hadith that anybody who drinks from this world, they will not get to drink from that. That is a massive loss and a deprivation. That's why, you know, you go to certain Muslim countries like Saudi, etc., and you actually have their wine which has been de-alcoholized, right? If that's the word for it, right? There's no alcohol in this, it's 0.so many% alcohol, right? So it's like Heineken or whatever it is, but without alcohol. I wouldn't even touch those. Because fuqaha have written that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has criticized and shown how vile and evil this is. So anything close by is also to be avoided. In fact, they say that if somebody drinks something and says, I am drinking alcohol, that is even wrong for him to say that. So he's drinking something, you know, like for example, he's got a can of Pepsi and he's got a black bag, not a black, a brown bag, you know, like the way people drink alcohol on the street, they have a those brown bags around it to show that they don't want to show the can. So if somebody pretends to do that with Pepsi, or he gets a bottle of Schlur or something like that and pretends that he's, that is as wrong as drinking alcohol. That's as bad as it is. That should be avoided as well. So then I'm surprised that they're selling this, because when you start tasting this, it invites to tasting a bit more. You'll get the taste of it, but you won't have the kick. And you think, how does that feel? And then after that, you'd want to try the one with the alcohol. So I think this, that should be completely avoided, because that is something Allah wants us to sacrifice in this world because of the harms that are within. And thus, we should avoid it. In fact, he mentions that out of all of the harms that we've just mentioned of wine, there are actually more harms than that than we can mention. But the main thing is that all of these harms will be removed from the wine of paradise. That paradise wine will be completely pure. Now, another thing is that if you look at these four lakes, four rivers, they are, these four things are considered to be the best of anything you can drink in this world: water, honey, wine, and milk. So one of them is for لِرِيِّهِمْ وَطُهُورٍ, one is for them to be quenched. Milk is like food, right? Milk can be substituted for food. It's considered a solid in a sense, right? In fact, that's why some people even say you should chew your milk as you drink it, which I've never understood how you do that. But I remember hearing that once from someone, right? Another one is for honey as well, same thing, for strength and for sustenance. And then another one, لِلَذَّتِهِمْ وَسُرُورِهِمْ. Another one is for their pleasure and for happiness, wine. Right? وَهَذَا لِشِفَائِهِمْ وَمَنْفَعَتِهِمْ. And yet there's another one which is for their cure and for receiving more benefit from, which is honey as well. Right? So all four of these provide nourishment, sustenance, food, cure, energy, and health. That's what this is about. If you look at the rivers of paradise, where do they come from? So they're supposed to be a very sophisticated system. Because if this is saying that you've got these four rivers in paradise, how is everybody going to access them? I mean, you expect there to be several million people or more in paradise, hopefully lots and lots, right? How do you expect everybody to access these rivers if they're all in one place? Do you have to go and, you know, fill it up in something, or how does it work? So generally what's mentioned is that if you look at the narrations, it tells you that the rivers of Jannah, whether that be of the milk or the water or anything else, that they will start from the top. And then it will go all the way to its edges of Jannah, all the way to the edges of paradise. So somewhere it will start. As Imam Bukhari is relating in his Sahih, there's a famous hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. We've actually read this hadith before. It says that in Jannah there will be the Prophet ﷺ said, Jannah has 100 degrees. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared them for the mujahideen fi sabili. And between every two stages, every two levels, is like between the earth and the heavens, right? We read that hadith. It says that when you ask Allah, ask Him for the Firdaus, because that is the middle part of Jannah and the highest part of Jannah. So it's in the middle and the highest of Jannah. That is Firdaus. وَفَوْقَهُ عَرْشُ الرَّحْمَنِ. Above it is the Arsh of Rahman. وَمِنْهُ تَفَجَّرَ أَنْهَارُ الْجَنَّةِ. And from there comes and flows the rivers of paradise. So the rivers of paradise, the source of it is high up. So it's got a natural flow that will come from there. So you have this in a number of narrations. It's talking about Jannatul Firdaus and then the Arsh, and that being the source of all of the rivers of paradise. So there's another hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, which is, it says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got to the Sidratul Muntaha in the seventh heaven, which is the lot tree on the seventh heaven, right? And he says that وَيَخْرُجُ مِنْ أَصْلِهَا, from its roots, from its base, there are two apparent lakes, rivers that you can see, and there are two that are internal, which maybe you cannot see, right? And I said, Ya Jibreel, what is this? So then he said, the two that are internal, they are in Jannah, so they will flow from there into Jannah, and those that are apparent, they are the Nile and the Euphrates of this world. Now how the Nile and Euphrates of this world are connected to the seventh heaven, that we will discuss later. But if the question arises in your mind that if the source of it is the seventh heaven, and we don't see any particular piping, right, from there to the Euphrates and the Nile, but you see that the Euphrates and the Nile, they're just on the earth, on planet Earth itself. So how does it come from there? If that question comes in your mind, we will respond to that later, right? I will discuss that later, because that's a question that comes. How is it sourced from there? It's a very simple process, actually. You don't need any piping, right? You don't need any plumbing at all. It's a very simple system. So there's another narration in the Sahih from Anas radiallahu anhu. The Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, as I was walking in Jannah. Now this tells you how how the lakes and rivers in paradise, if they don't have a trench, how are they going to be formed? How is the water contained? Now this makes sense. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, as I was walking in Jannah, suddenly I came to a lake, a river. Hafatahu, its two sides, its two banks, which means where the water, the edge of the water on this side, edge of the water on this side, was qibabul lu'lu'il mujawwaf, hollowed out pearls. Hollowed out, domes of hollowed out pearls. That's how it's going to be. These hollowed out pearl domes are going to be on the sides of this river, and the river's going to flow. That's how it's probably going to stop its spread out. فَقُلْتُ مَا هَذَا يَا جِبْرِيل. I said, Ya Jibreel, what is this? هذا الكوثر الذي أعطاك ربك. This is كوثر. إنا أعطينا كالكوثر. Right? We gave you the كوثر. This is what it is. And then the angel hid his hand inside. فإذا طينه. You know, at the bottom of water, you generally have some kind of sand or soil or silt of some sort. You know, that helps the purification of the water. This was طينه أذفر. This was pure. This was pure. Later you'll find out that this was musk, right? But right now it just says this soil there was pure, its bottom. Sahih Muslim, another narration, Al-Kawtharu Nahrun fil Jannah. Kawthar is a river in paradise. Wa'adanihi Rabbi Azza wa Jal, which my Lord has promised me. There's another narration, which is, yeah, Dakhaltul Jannah. I entered Jannah, and there was a river that was flowing. On its banks were, this one says, tents. of pearls. There it was, domes of pearls. Essentially, these are places on the edge, right? Probably, you know, like you say, cottages on the lake. So it seems like that. But they're actually natural, made out of hollowed out pearl. فَضَرَبْتُ بِيَدِي I struck it with my hand to the water, you know, struck inside to see what was at the bottom. And it was miskun adhfar. There was musk underneath. That is the soil of Jannah. فَقُلْتُ لِمَنْ هَذَا يَا جِبْرِيلُ Who is this for, O Jibreel? Jibreel said, this is the Kawthar which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. So if this is Kawthar, we'd expect the other lakes to be similar to this in the way how it's contained. So it's not just spreading all over, but that's how it's contained. Then there's another narration which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Kawthar is a river in paradise. Its two banks are of gold. So there's some gold there as well, right? You can still have the hollowed out pearl domes, but then there's also gold down there. And it flows over rubies and emeralds, but its soil at the bottom is of musk. It's actually better than musk. And its water is sweeter than honey. وَأَبْيَضُ مِنَ الثَّلْجِ And whiter than snow. وَاللَّهُ عَلَمْ How that's going to be, it could just mean that it is extremely refreshing. Extremely refreshing. I just bought some spring water the other day. And it says, best had slightly chilled as nature has intended. Right? Because it says that it's bottled from its source. Right? And it says that this is best served slightly chilled as, you know, nature has intended. Meaning that's how it is. It's generally, it's cool. Aisha radiallahu anha says, now this is very interesting. I don't know if I remember now hearing something a long time ago, that if you put your two fingers by your ears halfway, you can hear the rivers of paradise. I remember once hearing about this. Have you heard this, Ammar? So it was just, I can't remember the passing, I've heard it. This brings back some memories. Aisha radiallahu anha says that this is river in paradise. Anybody who puts their fingers on their ears, they will hear the roar of this water or the flowing, the noise of this water, the movement of this water. Basically what it means, and Allah knows best, what it means is that, you know, when you put your fingers and you hear like a hum, then this is a similar sound. That if you want to hear how this water is going to flow, then put your fingers on your ears and you will see you will hear the resemblance of that water. That's basically what Ibn al-Qayyim explains, what Aisha radiallahu anha is saying. In the Jami' of Tirmidhi, there's a narration from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam who says that in Jannah, there's obviously a river of honey, and there's a river of milk, and then a river of wine. Right now, this answers the question: how is everybody going to get it? So these are the four major rivers that they're going to have of these things. ثم تشقق الأنهار بعد. Then after that, you will have the tributaries that will run from it. So I think everybody will be irrigated and have their own supply, it seems, from these four major ones. That's what it seems. So you've got the four major ones, and then after that, from that, you will get, it will be diverted to everybody's residence, wherever it is. Subhanallah. So you'll have your own. You won't have to argue with anybody about it. It's my watering time. You're taking too much. Nothing like that. You get your own source. Hakim has a narration from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ سَرَّهُ أَنْ يَسْقِيَهُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ مِنْ الْخَمْرِ فِي الْآخِرَةِ فَلْيَتْرُكْهَا فِي الدُّنْيَا Anybody who wants to be given the wine of Jannah to drink in the hereafter, he should abandon it in this world. Whoever it makes happy to, that Allah will give him beautiful silk to wear in the hereafter, he should abandon silk in this world. This is for men, by the way. Women are allowed to wear it. I wonder why women feel that everything is misogynist when men aren't allowed to wear silk, they weren't allowed to wear gold, and, you know, women are allowed to wear these things. You know, subhanAllah, I guess we just focus on the negatives, right? But I guess you don't get men going, hey, we can't wear gold, man. That's so bad. That's just so bad, you know. Why women? That's discrimination. We can't wear silk. You know, subhanAllah, you know. We want to be like women. We want to have silk as well. I know some men just do it, but, you know. أنهار الجنة تفجر من تحت تلال. These rivers of Jannah will burst forth from under hills. أو تحت جبال المسك. Or from under mountains of musk. ولو كان, he says, ولو كان أدنى أهل الجنة حلية عدلت بحلية أهل الدنيا جميعا لكان ما يحليه الله به في الآخرة أفضل من حلية أهل الدنيا جميعا. The most, the lowest person in Jannah, the adornments that he will be given, they cannot match all the adornments of this world. Whatever Swarovski crystals, the best gold, the best designer necklaces, or whatever the case is, none of that compares to that one. Of even the lowest person in Jannah, whatever his adornments are. Now, when you go around into these stores and you see all this beautiful jewelry, when you're sitting on flights, they tempt you with those duty-free booklets with those nice, you know, perfumes and jewelry and all of these kind of things, and you don't have the money to buy it, right? You can't buy your wife a gift each time, you know, £150 jewelry and all that kind of stuff. You know, maybe sometimes you can buy something, you can't buy it all the time. So you just remember in Jannah, it's better. This is the solace that paradise gives you. I can't have it in this world. I make sabr, I get it in Jannah, inshallah. Let me do something that's easy. Let me just do some worship. Let me not go after all of this in the world. Let me go after worship and then have it forever, rather than having it for 10, 15, 20 years. Meaning work for 20 years and then after that maybe get it. Then protect it. Hopefully it's not lost. Hopefully I don't have to sell it, you know, for my daughter's wedding, right? As people who struggle with all of these things. This world is full of that kind of misery. Why not just focus on what is correct? And sacrifice some of these things. And then inshallah you get in Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that understanding. So, Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu relates that, أَظُنُّكُمْ تَظُنُّونَ أَنَّ أَنْهَارَ الْجَنَّةِ أُخْدُودٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ. I believe that you think, my understanding is that you think that the rivers of paradise flow in trenches in the world. لا والله, they do not flow in trenches. That's the difference. إنها لسائحة على وجه الأرض. They will be flowing on the surface of the water. But إحدى حافتيه اللؤلؤ والأخرى ياقوت. It will, the water will be contained though by pearls on one side and Yaqut. What's Yaqut? Ruby, red, precious stones. وطينه, and the soil, sand beneath it is pure musk. So the Sahabi says, قلت ما الأذفر? What does أذفر mean? He says, الذي لا خلط له, which means musk that has no adulteration of anything else. It's just absolutely pure musk. Then there's a number of other descriptions in the Quran with water. وَمَاءٍ مَسْكُوبٍ وَمَاءٍ مَسْكُوبٍ وَفَاكِهَةٍ كَثِيرٍ Surah Al-Waqi'ah. مَاءٍ مَسْكُوبٍ أَنْهَارٌ تَجْرِي فِي غَيْرِ أُخْدُودٍ. That's what it means. Water that flows without trench. وَنَخْلٍ طَلْعُهَا هَضِيمٍ. That's another. In Sahih Muslim, it mentions that Sayhan, Jayhan, Furat and Nil. This is the Sayhun River and the Jayhun River, which is in Central Asia. I believe it's called Amu Darya and Siri Darya, right? It's Uzbekistan around that area, right? And then the Furat, which is the Euphrates in Iraq, and then the Nile, which is the Nile in Egypt. Kullu min anharil Jannah. They're all from Jannah. So now I need to respond and tell you how this all links up with its source in Jannah. The way this is being understood is that just like the Hajar al-Aswad, the black stone is from Jannah. Right? The black stone is from Jannah. So it was sent down. It's still not connected down there, is it? It came from Jannah. So likewise, all of these have been supplied initially from Jannah. The water was initially supplied from Jannah because water comes from the heavens. That's how these rivers start to flow, because the water comes from upstairs, from up there. That's how it is. And he actually mentions that it will eventually disappear one day before the Day of Judgment. Abdullah ibn Wahab, there's a narration from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. It says that in Jannah there is a river that is called Al-Baydakh. Al-Baydakh. That's a river. Alayhi qibabun min yaqutin tahtahu jawarin. It has these, as I mentioned, these domes, these residences, these places on the side, made of ruby, under which are maidens. People of Jannah will say, take us to this river called Baydakh. It mentions there that the person will then go and look at all of these maidens. If any of them fascinate him and please him, he will touch her wrist. He just has to touch her wrist. Massa mi'asamaha. Touch her wrist and she will follow him. That's all it mentions. It doesn't tell you anything above that. The rest is left to your imagination. I think the next section is about the streams of Jannah. So these were the rivers of Jannah, now the streams of Jannah. When it comes to the streams of Jannah, there's a few verses. This is just a short section. إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُونَ. This is in Surah Al-Dhariyat. Verily, the people with taqwa, they will be in gardens and with streams. Allah says in Surah Al-Insan, إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ يَشْرَبُونَ مِنْ كَأْسٍ كَانَ مِزَاجُهَا كَافُورًا عَيْنًا يَشْرَبُ بِهَا عِبَادُ اللَّهِ يُفَجِّرُونَهَا تَفْجِيرًا. That the abrar, which is the righteous ones, they will drink from a kas, they will drink from a cup, a goblet, a drink. كَانَ مِزَاجُهَا كَافُورًا. There will be a mixture of kafur, of camphor. Now this is very special camphor. Aynan, which is a stream from which ibadullah, from which the servants of Allah will drink. Yufajjirunaha tafjira. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Insan, وَيُسْقَوْنَ فِيهَا كَأْسًا كَانَ مِزَاجُهَا زَنْجَبِيلًا. This is another one. The first one was a drink that's mixed with kafur. Next one, they will be given to drink from a goblet or a cup. كَانَ مِزَاجُهَا زَنْجَبِيلًا, whose mixture will be zanjabil, ginger. عَيْنًا فِيهَا تُسَمَّى سَلْسَبِيلًا. This will be a stream in it, which will be called salsabil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is first telling us about the stream from which the very close ones will drink. Right? They will have this mixture in it. It will be completely pure. In Surah Al-Mutaffifin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the abrar. إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ. Verily these righteous ones. Actually, you know what? Let's do this one later because we're coming to the end. This one requires some thought in terms of there's a lot of comparison that's going on here. Inshallah, we'll do this one next time. So we'll do this one next time and then he moves on to the general food of the people of Jannah. Inshallah, we'll look at that next time.